The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Well, we have a new year. We have a new approach to a show. Today, we're going to talk about different types of apps, and we're going to have small segments on apps here, and we're going to have apps that will benefit my listeners specifically. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in one person for a 10-minute segment. We're going to talk about their company, their app, and how they can be of benefit to my listeners, to the federal IT professionals that are listening in here. Kind of a new approach, but I figure it'd be a fun approach to start off with 2016. We have an experienced radio person as our first guest today. His name is Matt Bradell, and his company is LCG. Now, you were just in the studio about 6-8 months ago, weren't you, Matt?
I sure was. Great to be back.
Yeah. We talked about health IT and different things and odds and ends. But what we want to do today is we want to just focus on one little app, one specific app, and how it can make my listeners more productive. So what's the name of this app we're going to talk about?
This app is called Want to Be a Bioengineer, and it's a game.
It's a game? Well, that's going to be pretty good. Want to Be a Bioengineer. And who's the target user?
The target user is middle and high school age students, their parents, and teachers.
And what does it cost?
It's free.
It's free. Well,
of course.
So far, yeah. Free's not a four-letter word on Federal Tech Talk, I can tell you that much. And where can my listeners get this particular app?
Okay, so you can download this app on any iOS device from the iTunes Store or any Android device on Google Play, and you can also use it actually on a website with the National Institute of Biomedical Imaging and Bioengineering at the National Institutes of Health.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It sure is.
Yeah, so we know National Institute of Health just up the road. Mm-hmm. And what the idea here is planting seeds for candidates to work there 20 years from now, I guess what it's doing, huh?
That's absolutely right. You know, we looked at what they were doing in terms of expanding and exploring public outreach to students around careers and interest in educational directions with STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math, and particularly in bioengineering, which is about as hardcore STEM as you can get. That is a big focus of NIBIB, and this app is a great, fun way for students to engage with this area of science and really understand, you know, what future may lie out there for them in bioengineering.
So do you have an approach for distributing this app, or how are you going to let people know about it?
Well, we have had a lot of success in downloads and adoption. We've had downloads on every continent except Antarctica, which doesn't have a very large student population, I don't think. We've submitted it for two ACT IAC mobile innovation competitions where it has been a finalist both times, and it got beat out by apps that cost $4 to $8 million, so we feel pretty good about that. It's been featured at the National Science Teachers Association STEM Forum in New Orleans, and it is something that we've had over 2,200 students use at the USA Science and Engineering Expo.
So if someone is just going to go to Google and type in a few words to find it, what words would they type in instead of the whole long URL that you mentioned earlier?
Bioengineer game will do it.
Good. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, in the world of education, I'm kind of my toes involved in the world of education. They talk about gamification and game theory and learning that way. Is this part of the approach here? Is this what all the smart folks on NIH are looking at? And you're saying, well, maybe this is a way, this is an approach we can actually draw people to our field?
Absolutely. And I think that's really a big part of the value here is students use phones and tablets. That's where they are. That's how they consume information. And this app was designed specifically to meet the way that they consume media and to get them excited using the technology they're already using about the kind of science and engineering that NIH is funding and that is creating groundbreaking innovations in rehabilitation engineering, regenerative medicine, all sorts of things that really almost border on science fiction. And the game really helps them understand that. It's got animations, got photos, it's got links to additional content that they can pursue on their own accord.
You know, I think about games and gamification and different approaches to learning things. When I think of mobile, I think it's just so important. You know, I sent out a newsletter at 9 o'clock this morning, and I had a 29.8 open rate with mobile devices. and last year, it was 24%. Yeah. And the year before, I didn't measure that carefully because I didn't worry about it. 29%, I mean, so it's a third of my target audience is opening up with a mobile device.
Right.
So you have to be mobile first these days, don't you?
You absolutely do. And one of the key takeaways from this game and the success that NIH has had with it is, you know, this concept of gamification has a tremendous amount of value for other federal agencies and federal listeners who have a mission of outreach and education, because the concept that we use here can be applied to just about anything, you know, and taking an educational message and making it fun and exciting and engaging. That works for everybody. I mean, everybody likes to play games, and this is a perfect way to try something new. I also want to mention, these do not cost a lot of money to develop, and you can really leverage your public outreach dollars by developing apps that do things like this.
Now, your company is LCG and lcginc.com for more information on your company. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. And you can also check us out on Twitter at lcggov. And my handle is at Matt Bridell.
Good, good, good. Last week, we had a guy in from the Air Force. And during the break, I was talking about his daughter. And the Air Force Academy is trying to recruit his daughter. And so I think this is a federal problem. You know, the military academy is trying to reach out, and guess what? It's a variation on the STEM approach, isn't it?
Yep.
So they're looking for females, males too as well, but they're looking for a certain profile, and this may be a better way than calling her up and saying, hey, we're the greatest.
it absolutely is, and you know, as the demographic skews younger and younger, that 28% adoption rate on mobile devices is probably more like 80 or 90% for younger audiences. So any agency that has that kind of mission and requirement should absolutely be looking at gamifying apps.
So this runs on what platform?
It runs on any iOS platform, so iPad, iPhone. It runs on any Android platform, which covers an awful lot of devices. And then you can access it on Windows devices of any nature based on the website.
So is it changed substantially with the different devices or pretty much the same?
No, we redeveloped it to work seamlessly on any form factor using a responsive web design approach, and you get the same consistent experience on anything you use.
That's great. Yeah. Did you look at different types of games, or why did you even come up with this approach?
Well, we came up with the approach because the client was using a PowerPoint to do this, and it was not particularly effective. And you can show a PowerPoint to a big audience at a conference and maybe hit 2,000 people, get them interested. With an app or a game, you can reach 20 million people.
When I'm in the classroom and I put up PowerPoint, I just might as well hand out pillows.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
Okay, I'll wake you at the end of the presentation. Yeah. And a PowerPoint's not going to be effective at persuading and changing people's opinion of the Air Force Academy or current NIH. But I would think that people have an NIH. NIH almost has a mystique about it, almost like Silicon Valley does and did. But in the scientific community, there's a certain mystique there, isn't there? I mean, to work there.
There absolutely is. And, you know, NIBIB, our client for this particular app, is the newest institute in NIH. It's only been around since 2000. But the type of research and science that they are funding and developing, like mobile MRI scanners, for example, really changed the world. A lot of what NIH does changes the world, and it improves people's health in profound and meaningful ways.
Yeah, every day of the week. Any questions about security and privacy with collecting data on users?
Not with this app. The only thing that is collected is a name, which could easily be a pseudonym. It is available offline, so as long as you download it, you don't actually need a network connection to play it, and it doesn't collect any information.
See, I'm thinking like a dad.
Yeah, you know, it's designed to be fun and to get the message out about the content around rehabilitation engineering, regenerative medicine, biomedical imaging, not necessarily to provide any content back to the originator, the agency.
And I'll ask the marketing question, can they measure results? Can they measure how effective it is?
Absolutely. You know, part of the way that we do that is by checking who's downloaded it, where they've downloaded it from, and then when we're engaging with young people at conferences or shows in using it, we get a lot of really good feedback.
Why don't you give me the name of the app one more time, then we'll close it out.
Sure. It's Want to Be a Bioengineer.
And that's that simple.
It's just that simple.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take and close up this segment here. I'd like to thank my guest, who is Matt Riddell, and he is Vice President for Health IT at LCG. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Take a break, come back, and talk about another app. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Kind of a new show today. We're going to have small blocks of information on a specific app and how it can be productive for my listeners, federal IT professionals. So the second person we have in the studio is Chad Baker. He's the Director of Business Development for a company called CompWalk. How are you, Chad?
Great, John. Thank you so much for having me.
You've an old hand in the radio studio here, so I should just put my foot up and maybe smoke a cigar or something. And but I'll go through the drill and exactly what we're going to talk about today.
Does three times make an expert?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So what's the name of the app we're talking about today from you?
We're going to talk about CompWalk, C-O-M-P-W-A-L-K. You know how techies cleverly like to combine words that make sense to make a word that doesn't make any sense at all. So
portmanteau is what they call it.
That's what we've done there.
Who is the target user?
The target user, there's actually two target users. One is a field agent, you know, anyone who's been sent out into the field to collect data, whether through an interview, through a procedural inspection. And the second audience is really those folks that are charged with administering the scheduling of those field agents, and then, of course, making good use of the data that comes back from the field.
And could be similar to Matt's situation on NIH. I would think this would be a lot of medical-type applications. Is that right?
Well, it's interesting. So CompWalk, the two words that we combined there were compliance and walkthrough. The app was actually born out of the collective need of a number of CMS-deemed authorities that run around not only the U.S. but North America to actually investigate laboratories to make sure that they're in cooperation with regulations, federal regulations for safety and for quality. So as it turns out, those were kind of the most complicated ways that the app could be used. And so we've sort of backed off and simplified a lot of other types of industries with the app itself. Things that come to mind, OPM sent a guy out to interview me at my home about an old friend that they were doing a background check on. He wrote everything down on paper. I didn't have a computer with him. I asked him a little bit more about the process. And, you know, it's a very laborious process, collecting the data and then getting it all pulled into a report. OSHA sends somebody out to investigate and report on a workplace incident, scheduling those people to go out, getting the information back in a streamlined fashion. There's a lot of different applications for the very same principle.
So if I come up to my boss and say, hey, I want to use this CompWalk stuff, what's the value? So the value is accurate data collection?
That's one of them. Consistency really is a big issue whenever you're, you know, if you've got a PowerPoint presentation that you're using or if you have an Excel file that you're using to collect data. So really, consistency is a big topic. Time savings is another huge one. Of course, we were just talking this morning before we started. We all have our phones. We all have our laptops, we all have our tablets, I've got my Surface here. And, you know, being able to not carry all that stuff around. If I'm doing an investigation on signage at an underground storage tank, I probably need to take a picture. I don't want to carry a camera. So really, the efficiency of only having to have one device and the time savings of not having to compile all of your reports on your own and have to, you know, email those all over the place.
It has many aspects in the federal government of application. I mean, there's military aspects. I'm thinking about the Air Force and aircraft maintenance. I'm thinking about FEMA trailers. I'm thinking about GSA. I'm thinking about NIH, all kinds of places, NIH. So it can be plugged
food
in many, many.
Food safety is a huge topic as well right now.
So that's the tough question. I use the four-letter word here. So what does it cost, C-O-S-T?
So I should say getting the app and putting it on your device is free. The cost is associated with a per user, and those costs can be as low as $25 a month per user, and that, you know, is all encompassing. So, but we do 60-day free trial. So really deciding whether that cost makes sense for the agency, you have the ability to run out a 60-day free trial. Sometimes it takes longer than that, of course. We do run on FedRAMP certified Azure. So everything's nice and secure there as well.
Great, great. So if I'm listening to this interview in my car, I'm saying to myself, well, where can I get it?
So a couple places. The first place, the easiest place, is to have me help you with it, is to, you know, to have me guide you through it. We do have a landing page, compwalk.com/WFED for this topic specifically. That'll lead you to directly contact me or to the App Store on Apple to download, or to the Windows Store on your Windows device to download the app. Once you have it downloaded, what we're doing is we're helping folks. We help them set up what very specific content is going to be helpful for their organization and get them out of the gate with a trial of the software.
I spent a lot of hours studying for all my Google Analytics tests, and so I got to ask the keyword question. So if someone types in a keyword and may stumble on your company in Google, would it be compliance? Would it be mobile device compliance? What word would they find you with?
Both of those, compliance, mobile device compliance. Of course, if you type in CompWalk, why would you? This is the only reason. That's if you type in compliance walkthrough, you may stumble across a number of blogs. If you type in audit, inspection, Capterra is a big place where folks go looking for technology solutions. You'll find CompWalk there.
Another area of the government is NIST, NIST, just right up the road here. And when I think of NIST, I think of laboratories and a lot of federal laboratories. There's all kinds of laboratories throughout the federal government, and they all have to have compliant situations where they have to have ISO compliance, certain compliance built into so many listeners.
They do. And really all it boils down to is you have a communication path for scheduling folks to be out in the field. Mobile geolocation to optimize that scheduling, you know, find them using their mobile device, help them get around traffic incidents like we had this morning with the ice, streamlining the collection effort, ability to take pictures, escalate an incident if there is one, you know, create a form for OSHA to, you know, if there's an accident, if there's a fall, and then develop a report directly from that rather than having to copy and paste and pull everything together. Streamline the communication process. Everyone who needs to know automatically knows when the report is complete.
You got an easy radio name, I'll tell you that much, Chad Baker. That's easy to type in. I can find you pretty easily. I was at CompWalk this morning, and you folks have a blog. So if you're listening to this, trying to maybe see if it's any application, you can go to CompWalk.com and read some stuff and get a better idea of what your product's all about. Is that right?
Absolutely. And of course, compwalk.com/WFED, and we'll direct you to some very specific resources based on the interview this morning.
Well, what is the number one question you have? So someone hears you in the radio, you go out to an agency or you go out to a company, they talk to you. What are the kind of questions they ask about this? Do they ask about security? Do they ask about ease of use? What kind of questions do they ask?
The big ones are usually, we start with what device can I use it on? You know, my folks have a lot of different devices. For that reason, we do provide the app for all the folks out there with their iOS, their Apple devices, their phones and their iPads, all the folks out there with their Android devices, their tablets and their Galaxies. And of course, Windows 10 is a huge push. You know, tons of people have migrated to it. We had an early adopter that said, we don't want all of our field auditors to be using their own devices. We want to keep it nice and secure. So we want to buy these new Surface tablets. What can we do with that? We had a Windows 8 app out there, quickly put together the Windows 10 app, and it's widely available now in the Windows Store.
And I have a Microsoft Surface on right next to me here, so it's pretty
Excellent.
Popular. I see them all over
Excellent.
The place there.
Ease of administration for security as well.
And
if
I
you
think
have a network on Windows.
And when you think of big companies or big organizations, and you have something like Microsoft, it's like, okay, this is a checkbox. I don't have to worry about some security aspects that I might have to worry about if I use a different type of an app.
It is a little easier.
Yeah, it's easy to help you sleep at night. Where do you see your app changing in the next few years? What kind of input have you had? What kind of recommendations or changes have you seen coming up? Or what are you going to do?
I think a lot of it is more usability and simplicity. You know, where, as I stated, we came out of a fairly complex regulatory environment. And so where things for property management, for instance, are a little more simple, a lot more functionality on just the app itself versus, you know, we have some administrative functionality on a web console. So if you're an admin, you may go to a web console to run reports, and really taking more and more of that functionality and building it into the app, where right now the app, you can toggle it offline, you can use it offline, you can collect all the data, you can compile the report. You have to get back online to communicate that data back up, but some of the administrative features are only available through the web.
So in other words, the person who interviewed you from the OMB could have brought in a Microsoft Surface Pro, could have done that report right then and there, and gone home on time instead of staying late to do a written report.
And he wouldn't have had to ask me for my Wi-Fi password.
Isn't that something? Because it's right there.
Yep.
Online, offline, all kinds of applications for collecting data. I'd like to thank my guest, who is Chad Baker. He's the Director of Business Development for CompWalk, and the name of his app again is?
CompWalk, piece of cake.
Thanks, Chad. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. After a break, come back and talk about another app that can make you more productive. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Kind of a different show this time. We're having four different apps, and we're having companies that present these apps to you. And the question to ask is, how can this app make my life easier, make my life more productive? And our next guest is Rocky Campione, and he is the Vice President of Planet Technologies. Rocky, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, John?
Find out more about your company, go-planet.com. Tell me about your app. What's the name of it?
Well, we've got a mobile inspection application, and we built it on the Microsoft CRM platform, or what we like to say is the Microsoft XRM platform. And frankly, we built it. I'm a former federal executive at the Department of Energy, at the Department of State, and I went to our CRM folks and said, we have a problem. We're doing a lot of inspections. We've got cloud now. We have mobile applications that we didn't have when I was in the government. We need to fill that. We need to fill that void. We need to make things easier. We need to move away from paper and more to automated workflows. So we've built this mobile application, mobile inspection application, so that we can help the federal government do that and perform their tasks more efficiently and save the taxpayer money.
And so who's the target user, DOE?
No, target user is, it could be across the board, any inspection authority. So you could be at Department of Transportation and be looking at pipelines in the middle of Nebraska or the middle of anywhere and do this. You could be a state and local government too, not just federal government, and be looking at something as simple as an elevator inspection. We all walk in the elevators and we see that it's been inspected. You know, people have to walk around and they're doing that with paper and pencil. We can go to state and local governments as well as federal and have them use a Microsoft Surface and do it right there and feed it directly back into their system, where it'll be dashboarded on the back end. So your manager has reports. You know, you can have, if you find something, you can automatically kick off a workflow that will alert people. So the target audience is basically any federal government entity or, frankly, any public sector entity that does inspections.
How much does it cost?
It is free. If you go to the Microsoft Store, you can download the application. What I will say is we rely on Microsoft CRM Dynamics on the back end, but most entities have that as part of their enterprise agreement. So what we like to say is you already own it. And if you have Microsoft Dynamics on the back end and you download this, it's seamless to start and it's easy to use.
What's the name of the app again?
It's the mobile inspection application from Planet Technologies.
So go-planet.com, is that where you can find it?
You can find it there. We also have planetxrm.com, but go-planet.com will take you wherever you need to go. Or you can just go to the Microsoft Store and type in mobile application or mobile inspection.
So if I were to fire this little app up right now, what would be the first thing I'd think about it? What about the user interface? How does it work?
It's pretty straightforward. It's touch-based. Because we've built it really for a Surface, but it could be on any mobile device. And you would go in, you'd log in. If you are on a federal network, you can use an HSPD-12 card, you can do two-factor authentication, whatever you would need to do to log in. You would log in, you'd connect to your network, or if you are remote, you can run remotely too, where you're not connected. And it looks just like... You know, it's a customized form, so it looks just like any form-based, depending on how you want it to look. again, customizable. We have a standard look that's for free, but it's pretty straightforward. If you know how to use a website, you know how to use this application.
So the way to qualify a person before they download this is the mostly large organizations, agencies that already have CRM implemented, and that's really your target audience, someone like that.
That would be the target audience, and it can be CRM online or CRM in the cloud. So again, depending on sensitivity of data, what your current policies are within your organization. It doesn't matter. You can be CRM online, CRM on-premises, and you'll be good to go.
What about security issues? Do people ask that question?
We do get that question a lot, and frankly, what we rely on is the security of both the Microsoft cloud, or if you're on-premises, we basically run off of whatever your current security posture is. It can be because of the login process and, you know, depending on what your policies are, we can do two-factor, we can do two-factor. We can do a number of other ways to do it, but it's all fairly secure. If you don't have your system set up correctly on the back end, you know, we're only going to be as secure as you are currently.
So your company is Planet Technologies, and I watch the news pretty aggressively, and what I've noticed is about a year ago, it was April 1st, maybe it was the last couple of years, Amazon dropped prices and everyone started running scared. What I've seen the last couple of weeks is that Microsoft has dropped prices, and they're the big dog. They're trying to be the market leaders with Azure pricing. I mean, this is a new story, isn't it? This isn't the old Microsoft.
It's not. Well, I'll tell you, Microsoft's a great partner. I don't know if, you know, Planet Technologies, we're a 10-time partner of the year for Microsoft. We've been working with them for close to 20 years now. They're a great partner. They have a great platform. We love building on it. And I'll tell you what, it's there's no better platform to build on in the federal government. There's the security that they provide with their cloud, cloud platforms are, you know, exceptional, and we're pretty confident about what they provide, and we're pretty happy to be a partner with them.
One question that people have about apps in general is, hey, it's free, great. What's going to happen in 6 months when Planet Technology walks away from it? I mean, how's it going to be maintained?
Well, actually, the nice part about this app, and maybe it's not the nice part for Planet, is because it's built on Microsoft Dynamics, and we can download the app and you get all the bits and bytes, if you have your own in-house team, you can support it. If you have a team that's already building on Microsoft Dynamics, you're going to get our bits and bytes. You're going to be able to kind of adjust it as needed, and you can move ahead. So it doesn't lock you in. While we believe we provide the best service, and while we believe we can provide it at the best value for the government, you really don't need that. And we believe strongly that our competitive advantage and our abilities will make you keep coming back to Planet. But hey, it's built on Microsoft. There are literally hundreds of thousands of partners out there who can also do the work.
I have a non-Microsoft question here. My phone updated the operating system, and it's a type of an Android phone where it broke some of the apps. Is that something? And so what happens when you have a Microsoft app and there's an upgrade or security patch, or is this less of a concern because it's all in one environment?
We believe it's much less of a concern. Again, we're building directly on the CRM Dynamics. So as it changes, I'll give you an example. CRM just upgraded to 2015. It took a day for our developers to make sure that the application moved from the old CRM platform to 2015, and most of that was just our kind of testing to make sure everything worked. So as things change, I will never say, you never say never, but we believe we mitigate that risk.
Risk mitigation. Besides security, any other questions come up when you show someone this app?
The biggest one is, what devices does it run on? We started showing it on a Microsoft Surface, and people said, well, but what if I'm down in a mine? I need a rugged device. Well, it works on a rugged device as long as it's running a Microsoft operating system. So it's, where does it work? How does it work? We get that a lot. And our basic premise is, hey, if you have a mobile device running Microsoft, this will work. So whether it be rugged, whether it be in an office, whether it be a building inspection, it can work on any device, and that's one of the bigger questions we have.
So it seems to slip in rather nicely with the CRM. Are there any integration concerns, headaches or problems?
None. We don't foresee any. We've never had any. As long as you have CRM on the back end, you have a great mobile application. And what we also like about it, too, is the ability that as regulations change, the way that CRM works, and you talk about the end user with the form, when regulations change, all you have to do is change it once, and it gets pushed out. So even for upgrades and even for changing what you might be inspecting, it's easy to deploy, rapid application development.
Where you see, give me a typical agency you see this being deployed at.
So I mentioned a couple. We'd love to see it, if you have Department of Transportation and they're looking at pipelines, that's a perfect play. EPA, you could be walking all over the country in the middle of nowhere looking at different events. We can use it there. I like to talk about, Department of Energy. We have a number of facilities across the country. You could be doing inspections of your outer perimeter. And what I like to say is you see a fence that has a hole in it, you can quickly take a picture, you can type it in, you can send it back and immediately get dispatched to maintenance to get that fence fixed for security reasons. So it, any agency that does an inspection, this is the application for them.
So if you're listening to this interview as a podcast or live or streaming and your agency uses Microsoft CRM, this would be a no-brainer. It would make sense to download and try it out and then go from there. Hmm?
Someone once said, easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah. So what's the website and what's the name of the app again?
It's www.go-planet.com, and it's mobile inspection application.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Rocky Campione from Planet Technologies. Thanks, Rocky.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Let's hear a round of applause for our next guest, Kurt Greening. Yay! The studio audience is going crazy. We have a different show here today. What we're doing is we're taking four companies and we're taking a look at four different apps to make you more productive. And our next guest is Kurt Greening. He's a director of productivity solutions for a company called Xgility. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a funny company you have there. It's called Xgility, Xgility.com. Is that right?
Absolutely, John. We've got our roots in Agile, so Xgility is the name of the company.
Great. I'll hit it real quickly here. What's the name of the app you can talk about?
The name of the app that I'm going to be talking about today is Nintex Mobile.
That is a tough one for radio guys, so I'll let you spell that for our listeners.
Absolutely. Nintex is spelled N-I-N-T-E-X.
So you can go to Google and just type in and stumble on it, huh?
Absolutely. Go to Google, type in, stumble on it, go to Xgility.com. We'll tell you everything you need to know about Nintex Mobile.
Great, great, great. So who is your target user?
Well, it's anybody in the federal government, or actually it could be local governments as well. Anybody with SharePoint or Office 365, which these days is pretty much everybody. Most every federal agency is using SharePoint, and most of the cabinet level agencies are deploying or looking at deploying Office 365.
So earlier we had Rocky focusing in on Microsoft CRM. Now we have you maybe focusing a little bit more on SharePoint.
Absolutely. We're still talking about the Microsoft Cloud, just a different aspect of the Microsoft Cloud.
Okay, we're having coffee together, and you tell me about this little app, and I turn to you and say, what's the value? Why should I even concern about this? What's the value of this app?
Well, it's really about making folks more productive. I mean, in the federal government, we push a lot of paper. Paperless office, Paperwork Reduction Act, all of those things are very big, which is, I think, one of the reasons why folks went to SharePoint. And adding a mobile component, whether you're talking about approvals, inspections, any of the things where you might fill out a form on SharePoint, develop a workflow with approvals, Nintex Mobile is really aimed at that space, allowing people to do their work on a mobile device, whether you talk about an iPad or Android or any type of mobile device.
So this is for writing and composing? Is that what it's for?
No, it's for filling out forms and starting workflow. Let's say, for instance, John, we were going to give you a big promotion and we wanted to fill out a request form that started that. Or maybe it's mobile inspection. You're the FDA and you're out doing food inspections, or you're a local government and you're doing fire inspections. Could be related to that. So Nintex Mobile is going to allow those folks to work offline. It could be an inspector that has to go down in a basement, for instance, maybe look at an HVAC system. Of course, allows them to use all the embedded features of the mobile device, such as the camera or scanning barcodes, et cetera.
And how much does this cost?
Great question. So it's actually included for anybody that is a user of Nintex Forms and you know, has Office 365. So you can simply just go down and download the app for free. But of course, you're going to need either SharePoint or Office 365 along with Nintex to actually use the app.
And where can they get it again?
They can get it by going to www.xgility.com or www.nintex.com. It's in the Windows Store. It's in Google Play and iTunes. Of course, most federal agencies are actually deploying custom branded applications, and they're deploying these via mobile device management solutions.
So where do you think your typical user would be for you? I mean, paint a picture of someone who would be really beneficial from using this app.
Well, you know, it's anybody who's, you know, walking around. It's usually one of those important folks that you're waiting on approvals, and they're running from meeting to meeting, and essentially government workers are waiting on this person to do something to get their job done. Could be anybody with a mogul worker, like I said, inspections, folks that are walking around, and that would include people who need to access these forms offline, right? Some places that folks are doing inspections, you just can't necessarily rely on internet access in all of those locations.
You know, I think this might be for an HR professional because it could be used for onboarding. I mean, I would think that's a logical use for this.
Onboarding is an extremely common use of Nintex Forms. Onboarding, offboarding, promotions. I've even seen people use it for status reports, all kinds of different things.
Do you folks have any presence on Twitter?
We do, absolutely. At xgility.com, you can get to us. We're pretty active on Twitter. Post something interesting almost every day.
XGILITY. Okay, so I download this form. I'm filling it out. My first question is, hey, how secure is this? I mean, that's not a question to ask.
That's a great question. It does rely on the security of the Microsoft Cloud, or if you're on-premise, rely on security of SharePoint and Active Directory. So that's an area where our folks can actually help federal agencies if they have concerns about security. That's one of the key things we can help out with.
So we would use your company to help integrate this into our existing system, or could we do it ourselves from a government perspective?
Absolutely. So the government could certainly go out and purchase Nintex and deploy it on their own. In many cases, the federal government is looking for integrators like Xgility. We are a Nintex partner. We have a large staff trained on this solution, and so we're available to help federal agencies integrate Nintex into their SharePoint or Office 365 environment if they don't have those skill sets in-house.
Now, earlier this hour, we had Chad Baker on. He talked about someone collecting information on a piece of paper. So is that your competition, a piece of paper, or is your competition different forms or competition forms on Word?
Yeah, I think the biggest is piece of paper, or even folks that have gotten forms and workflow into SharePoint. And I think the expectation now of today's millennial worker is that everything is going to work from a mobile perspective. I mean, when I talk to federal CIOs, one of their biggest desires is to attract that younger tech-savvy worker. And I think having mobile apps is part of that key.
Where do you see this product heading in the next 3 years?
You know, that's a great question. I certainly see the adoption in federal agencies of Office 365 growing, and I think this is a key part of it. When I talk to federal agencies, they're all interested in mobile apps, but they're looking to deploy these quickly, and they're not looking at long development projects. They're looking for something where they can get a quick hit.
So is Nintex going to be around in 5 years? I mean, if you presented this to me, I'd say, well, what do we know about this company?
Absolutely. So they have thousands of customers besides federal government customers, you know, U.S. Treasury, FDA. Besides those types of customers, they've got thousands of customers, including local government. I mean, almost every local government I talk to is deploying Office 365 or has already deployed it. And yeah, these guys have thousands of customers. They are pretty much the standard when it comes to rapid development of forms and workflows. So yeah, you can be confident these guys are going to be around.
I've got a strange question for you. I was at a Microsoft conference a couple years back, and I noticed a number of people from Europe at this conference. I thought it was going to be filled with open source and Linux. It was a lot of Microsoft users. Is this nationally pretty popular too, or is this a, I've never heard of this company.
Actually, the company was originally based in Australia. Most of their folks are actually based close to now to Microsoft's headquarters in Redmond.
Yeah, I got the. I don't know why I got the international.
Originally they did get their start in Australia.
How would you change the program to make it more efficient or more effective?
Well, I mean that's the thing. What's great about Nintex is it allows folks to make easy changes. So while folks from Xgility typically are involved in helping getting somebody up and running with Nintex, we've even had power users add new fields, customize forms, make changes to the application. And that's really the value proposition of Nintex Mobile, is it allows power users or even program managers, less technical people, to go in and edit these forms and publish changes.
Interesting. So it looks like you compared this with other types of apps and you put your 4 stars on this one. What'd you compare it with, really?
You know, I think the other option is going out and building an app from the ground up. And in fact, the agencies have asked Xgility to do that in the past and ask us to provide bids. And when we looked at what they were asking for and we looked at, you know, what we can do rapidly with Nintex Mobile, that's where we started recommending the platform.
I think if you're a large established company, that's one thing. But I have students who write apps, and I'm just so afraid that, hey, they're going to be racing cars in 2 years and it's going down the road somewhere and you get lost. So I think this is a relatively safe bet. And I think if you're working for an agency, and I keep thinking of HR because I just switched health plans and it was a pile of forms I had to fill out. This would make it so easy. And if there's workflow involved, I could come to work the next day and go, oh, person A approved this. Now I can go to the next step.
Yeah, HR and finance are probably the number one and number two departments. And then, of course, anybody that's doing their work mobile.
Well, great. One more shot at your website and the app, please.
Absolutely. So, again, this is Kirk Greening from Xgility. Xgility.com is where you can find us, or the same thing, you can find us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And the name of the app is Nintex Mobile.
Great. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Kurt Greening, and thanks for the information on that app, Kurt.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.